wonderful thought that the beauty of Jesus might be seen in us, that God, through His wonderful grace and power, might conform us to the image of His Son as He planned for all eternity. Thank You for being here tonight to come closer to our God and hopefully gain a better understanding of Jesus Christ and His will for your life. Thankful you're here, that you're here, especially if you're visiting with us. We do have a number of visitors, and we're so glad you could be with us tonight to honor our God. Tonight, the question of the lesson is, are we building our lives with integrity? Integrity is an interesting word. A lot of people are interested in it. If you go to the online Merriam-Webster dictionary, it is the 9th most commonly looked up word, integrity. People want to know what it is. And I think that there is a sad lack of it in our world today. Probably that's why people want to know what it is. People don't know what it is. It's defined as firm adherence to a code of morals, an unimpaired condition, the quality or state of being complete and undivided. Integrity is something that you can count on in a person's character. It means that they're honest. It means that they're stable when it comes to moral values. It means that they're faithful. You ever tried to build a house of cards? I remember doing that quite a bit when I was a child. And it doesn't last for long. And you move just the wrong way, or somebody opens a door and there's a gust of wind and the house of cards falls down. Because it doesn't have what engineers call structural integrity. It doesn't have any firmness to it. It doesn't have anything that's going to hold it together and cause it to stand. You ever built a sandcastle on the beach? That didn't last very long either, did it? Ever played Jenga? You know that game? It's got these little blocks, and you have this tower of blocks, and you pull out one block after the other, and the guy that pulls out the block that causes the whole thing to crash down is the loser. But it's an exercise in destroying the structural integrity of a stack of blocks. There was a study published in 1991, which is a long time ago now, not to me, but to some. There was a study published in 1991 that found that 86% of teenagers said that they lied regularly to their parents. 86% of teenagers lied regularly to their parents. Fast forward now, 25 years later, and do we wonder why we're having problems with integrity in our country, in our society? Several years ago when I was in college, which was before 1991, I had a friend in one of the classes that I took who was actually a member of the Colorado Springs Police Department. And he was the guy who did the lie detector test. And he did not trust anybody, because he'd done so many lie detector tests on criminals. He just didn't think anybody was honest. He didn't think anybody had integrity. David said in the Psalms, "I said in my haste, all men are liars. Nobody's got integrity." And that's the way this acquaintance of mine felt all that long ago. I don't think I'm saying anything that really has to be proven when I make the observation that a lack of integrity in our society is palpable. It portends, I believe, what is an impending collapse of our society. I don't know if it's going to be sooner or later, but I know that if we continue on the trajectory that we're on, with people being unfaithful to one another, unfaithful to their God, unfaithful to their country, unfaithful to any kind of moral principles or standards that God has laid down, that we're on a trajectory that's going to lead to collapse, probably sooner than later. And you hate to say something like that, But it all gets back to that same principle. You build a house of cards and it's not stable and you're not making it out of stuff that's going to stand and it's not going to stand. And you pull those blocks out of the Jenga tower and it's eventually going to collapse. It's inevitable. I believe that the lack of integrity in our society explains to a large degree problems, for instance, in our financial markets. If my understanding is correct, the Great Recession that we just went through was to a large extent caused by people who were not people of integrity pulling the strings in big financial markets. You think about problems in politics and government, problems in interpersonal relationships, and societal problems at large. So much of that gets back to a lack of integrity. What the Bible says is that a lack of integrity is going to lead to collapse. Proverbs 10 and verse 9 lets us know that if you don't have integrity, it's going to show eventually. He who walks with integrity shall walk securely, but he who perverts his ways, it will become known. You'll be able to tell it. Whoever walks in integrity, the ESV says, the English Standard Version in the same verse, says whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. And how many could we name of sports heroes who have fallen, of politicians who have fallen, of public figures who've been disgraced when it's become known, or, you know, that they lacked integrity? I think of somebody like Joe Paterno, and those of you who follow football know he's a great football coach, Penn State, for many, many years, really built a program on the principle that this is a program of integrity. And from 1966 to 2011, he was the head coach of the Penn State football program, highly regarded throughout the country. And then there was this scandal at Penn State, and there was one of the assistant coaches who was abusing some of the players. And it became known that apparently Coach Paterno may have had some part in the cover-up of that, or at least not reporting it as it should have been reported. And he was summarily disgraced. And here's something that it just stood for, was the stamp of integrity in college sports. And now it's sullied and drugged through the dirt. And we could multiply that example by, I'm sure, thousands of examples. It's going to become known. It's going to be discovered. And it will result in destruction of the person, of the nation, whatever it is that you're talking about. Proverbs 11 and verse 3, the wise man says that the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. It's a general principle. If you're a person of integrity, you'll be guided by that. By solidness of morality. By faithfulness in your choices. But if you're not a person of integrity, if you're a crooked person or a perverse person, as one translation says, it's going to lead to destruction. I've used this example before, but I think it's a really interesting thing. You know, the Chinese built this great wall to protect their nation. I think it's like 2,000 miles long. Just this huge wall. It was so high that they knew nobody could ever climb over it. It was so thick that nothing could ever break through it. They spent all this time, all of their ingenuity, all of this effort in building this wall over decades. And then they sat back and relaxed in their security. The first 100 years after the Great Wall of China was built, it was breached on 3 different occasions by invading armies. They never broke down the wall. They never scaled the wall. They bribed the gatekeepers. And so here's a nation that was busy relying upon walls of stone for its security. They'd forgotten to teach integrity to their children. It doesn't matter how high the wall is, how thick it is, how strong it is. you are not secure in your life. We are not secure as a nation. We are not secure as people without integrity. Integrity protects. Integrity keeps safe. Crookedness, perversity, results in collapse. So, what does a life of integrity look like? I'd encourage you to turn in your Bibles to the 15th Psalm. I want to share with you what I believe to be a biblical picture among the beautiful Psalms, and their very expressive language, a beautiful picture of what a life of integrity might look like. Reading from the New King James Version, Psalm 15, starting in verse 1, a Psalm of David. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly, and who works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile man is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt does not change. He who does not put out his money to usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. What's being described? Well, the first part of the description, somebody who's upright, and the last part of the description, somebody who will never be moved. What is that? Integrity. That solid, consistent faithfulness. Did you notice what was said? What did a life of integrity look like? Somebody who's going to do the right thing. Whatever the right thing is. Tell you what, I know a man, he's actually a relative of mine, grew up here in Limestone County. And I've heard a lot of compliments paid to him over the years. One compliment that was paid to him that I'll never forget. Somebody was talking about him one day and they said, you know, about that fellow, what I know about him, what I believe about him, is no matter what, he's going to do right. Some compliment. That's some praise. A person of integrity does the right thing, whatever the right thing is, however much it costs, whatever it takes, no matter what other people think. A person of integrity is going to do the right thing. He's not going to do the right thing like Spike Lee, but he's going to do the right thing like God says to do. He's going to speak the truth in his heart. A person of integrity tells the truth to himself. He can look himself in the mirror, tell himself who he really is. Not glossing over his faults, not pretending to be something he's not. Speak the truth to himself in his heart, I believe that's saying. A person of integrity tells himself the truth. People who are not of integrity lie to themselves all the time. Convince themselves that things that are not true are true, and things that are true are not. But a person of integrity speaks the truth. He doesn't backbite. And that gets back to his faithfulness, his reliability. He is to your face what he is behind your back. He's the same. And he would say nothing behind your back that he wouldn't say to your face. That's integrity. He does not take up a reproach against his friend, and that connects to not backbiting. Others may speak evil of a friend of yours. If they're your friend, you're not going to do that. You're not going to take up a reproach against them. If they need to be confronted, something needs to be brought to their attention, you'll go do that. But you'll not take up a reproach against them. You despise that which is wicked or vile, not in accordance with the will of God. You honor those who fear the Lord. And those two points, again, it's amazing who is admired in our culture. Who is admired? Who gets all the attention? musicians, performers, actors. Think about all of the attention that is given to people like Miley Cyrus and Beyonce and whoever else you want to name, Lady Gaga in our culture today, the Kardashians, Caitlyn Jenner. These people are given awards. They're held up in our society as heroes. Surely we see that a person of integrity is a person in whose eyes a vile person is despised. Did you see that? And in whose eyes one who honors the Lord is honored. What does a life of integrity look like? It's not going to break a promise. This text, it says, he swears to his own herd and does not change. Now, we don't take oaths today, according to the instruction in Matthew chapter 5, and I'll get to that at the end of the lesson. Our yes is yes, and our no is no. But the point or the principle, I think, still bears, doesn't it? As we think about what integrity is today. If you've made a promise, you're going to keep that promise. And the only reason that you wouldn't keep that promise is if it leads you to sin against God. You know, you say you're going to do something, you find out that that's going to involve sin against God. That's the only reason you wouldn't do something that you've said you're going to do. No matter what it takes, no matter how it inconveniences you, a promise is a promise. And here the description is somebody who swears to his own herd. You in the Old Testament, you made this vow or taken this oath. You said you're going to do something and you find out, oh, that's going to hurt me so much. You do it anyway. Swears to his own herd and does not change. He was not going to break a promise, and he's not going to hurt the innocent or the disadvantaged. The text there says, he doesn't put out his money at usury. In the Old Testament, of course, it was not really lawful for Israelites to charge usury to one another in lending money, charge interest, if you will, in lending money. Of course, they didn't have the inflation that we have nowadays and so on and so forth, where money loses value pretty quickly. But the point of this, the principle of this still stands today. We have folks in our society. You think about these payday loan places and those, what are those folks up to? You go to those places, I guess, and you get a loan and it's, 20% interest or something like that, whatever. What are those folks up to? They are gouging people who are already desperate. And they're taking advantage of people's desperation and making money off of that. Exorbitantly. That's the kind of thing this is really talking about. That's the principle, I think, that's being elucidated. You don't take a bribe against the innocent. That's integrity. You need to understand that the lack of integrity is apparent. God knows now. God certainly knows whether you're a person of integrity or not. Job says about God that he tests us every moment. The Lord knows what's going on with us every moment. Are you aware of that? Do you welcome it? The psalmist in Psalm 26, verses 1 and 2, he says something to me that's always been very challenging as he addresses God. He says, "Vindicate me, O Lord. I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I will not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart." And so it's basically an open invitation. God, you just check me out through and through. You try my mind and my heart, and you see if I'm not a person of integrity. You welcome that sort of examination from God? I'm here to tell you tonight that whether you welcome it or not, it's the kind of examination you're going through every day. God knows you through and through. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows if you're a person of faithfulness, a person who can be counted on, a person of honesty, trustworthiness, a person of integrity. And that test all of us go through every day. God knows us. One day, He is going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it is good or evil. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14. One day, all liars will be cast into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21 and verse 8. A lack of integrity is apparent to God. But it's also important to realize that eventually, it'll be apparent to others as well. Parents, family, loved ones, you might can pull the wool over their eyes for a while in this life. Maybe they don't know that you're not who you claim to be, at least not immediately. But they'll find out. And here, I'm going to want to talk for a minute more about what a lack of integrity looks like. Just to be really clear, and especially with our young folks, as I mentioned, I think the Chinese failed to train their young people, and we don't want to be guilty of the same failure. To understand what it takes to be a person of integrity is so important. But all of us need to know this. We are dishonest when we purposely leave out information that somebody who is in a position of authority has a right to. Or somebody who's in a position where he needs this information has a right to. So for instance, you're selling a used car. Somebody comes to look at your car. Oh, it doesn't have any rust. You know, it's low miles. The miles on the speedometer are accurate. And the tires are good. But you leave out the fact that it's leaking oil like crazy, and it was in an accident a couple of years ago, and they didn't really fix it right. And here's information that the buyer has a right to, doesn't he? To be fair. Are you going to be a person of integrity or not? Many times, telling half the truth equates to telling a lie. The parent asks teenage daughter, where are you going? Going over to Sarah's. Well, that part was true. What's unsaid is that from Sarah's, we're going over to Sam's, and there's going to be a party there, and everybody's going to be there, and there's going to be alcohol there, and all sorts of other things, but that's all left out. But yeah, I'm going over to Sarah's. That part was true. Sometimes we're dishonest when we stretch the truth or exaggerate it. Some part of the statement may be true, but it's mixed in with lies. Again, that's a lack of integrity. I want to be sure to say this. We're not obligated to tell everybody everything we know. You know, Jesus knew a lot of things that he didn't tell his apostles. They weren't ready for him yet. We studied that not too long ago. But if somebody's in a position where they have a right to know something, or they're in a position of authority where there's an expectation that they should know something, we have the obligation to tell them and to be fully forthcoming. And otherwise, we're just being dishonest. Any advantage that we gain by such dishonesty, by such a lack of integrity, will be temporary at best. Proverbs 12:19 says, "The truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." It's not going to last long. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. So whether in this life or the life to come, as another verse says in the Old Testament, eventually your sin will find you out. What's the rationale for dishonesty? How can people excuse their lack of integrity? simpler way of asking that just might be, well, why do people lie? I want you to go in your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. And we have in this text, verses 23 through 27 of Matthew 21, a really interesting life lesson about why people lack integrity, why people are dishonest. And you'll remember the story. When Jesus came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him. He was teaching. And they said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Jesus answered and said to them, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will likewise tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why did you not believe him? If we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus and said to him, we do not know. Now, most of us who are Bible students recognize that the chief priests and the elders were not bastions of integrity. If you're reading through your New Testament, way before you get to this passage in Matthew, you could figure out that the chief priests and elders were not people of integrity. Here, their answer to Jesus' question, where was the, you know, what, by what authority did John baptize? Where was that, from heaven or from men? We do not know. Well, they did know too. They were afraid to answer. They were afraid to answer what they knew or what they thought. They were not people of integrity at all in giving their answer. But why did they give that answer? They feared two things. In the first place, they feared that they were going to be shown to be wrong. And here we go. Why do people not tell the truth today? Why are folks dishonest today? Why do people, you know, backtrack and cover up things they've done and things they've said with lies? They're afraid of being shown that they're wrong. That's why. If we say John's baptism was from heaven, he's going to say, why didn't you believe him? We'll have egg all over our face. Nobody likes that. We'll be embarrassed. And we're afraid of that. But if we give the other answer, if we say, well, John was just a man and his baptism was, you know, just from men, now we're afraid that the multitude's going to stone us because they all think he's a prophet. So both answers that were real options for them that would have shown some integrity, they shunned both of those out of fear. They don't want to be shown to be wrong in the first part, in the first point. And secondly, they don't want to be hurt by the multitude. You see that? That's the same motivation that leads people today to demonstrate a lack of integrity. There's a third kind of fear also that can play on us, cause us to not show the integrity and honesty that we should. It's the fear of harming someone else's feelings by telling them the truth. I'm afraid I'm going to hurt so-and-so's feelings. And so one of the big ways that we lack integrity today is through flattery. And that too is mentioned in Scripture. Proverbs 27 and verse 5 says that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Psalms 12 verses 1 and 2, the psalmist says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. I want you to notice there in Psalm 12, 1 and 2, that what the psalmist is bemoaning is the reality that there were not people of integrity in the land. And he's saying, here's the kind of people that we've got. They're not faithful. And they're disappearing from the earth. They speak idly. And they flatter with a double heart. They're not true. They're not people of integrity. What rationale do people have for dishonesty? Fear. Greed. when there's something to be gained, people are apt not to be honest. We make compromises because of materialistic desires. We don't realize that in making such compromises, of course, we're destroying ourselves with that lack of integrity, but we're also not gaining anything of real permanence. The English Standard Version of Proverbs 21:6 says, "The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and the snare of death." No matter how much money I'm making due to dishonesty and deceit, it's only going to last momentarily. In the wake of that dishonesty is the crumbled shell of a soul that has lost every last bit of its structural integrity. I think of people who try to cheat the system, who lie on their income taxes, who do work under the table, who commit fraud, who embezzle, and then try to cover it up. They destroy themselves in the process, don't they? And every vestige of spirituality that they might have had is lost. And in the end, the telling of their lies and their dishonesty and their greed profits them nothing. People of integrity know this. They know what the wise man said in Proverbs 19 and verse 22. It's better to be poor than to be a liar. The wise man in several ways repeats that concept throughout the Proverbs. It's better to be poor than to be a liar. Austin O'Malley has said that a lie has no legs. It requires other lies to support it. Tell one lie and you are forced to tell others to back it up. Stretching the truth doesn't make it last any longer. Those that think it's permissible to tell white lies soon grow colorblind. So what we're saying about lying for money or lying out of fear is that we're destroying the very fabric of our soul. I hope that we all see that. I hope that we leave here tonight with just a determination that we are going to be people of integrity. But I saved what I hope is the most important point of all of this for last. And I want you to think with me about the reality that many people and some Christians are dishonest, are not people of integrity, because their minds are not converted. Please go with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Paul, in this context, if you go back to verse 17, is talking about how the people of the world think and how they act and how they do, and basically they're blind and they're past feeling and they've given themselves up to uncleanness with greediness and all of that. And then he says in verse 20, he says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." He's talking about putting off that old man, putting on the new man, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, being converted, being changed inside out. And this person that is changed because Christ has taught him. He's learned from Christ what it means to be a person of integrity. And the next verse says, read it with me, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth to his neighbor." Why are people and some who call themselves Christians not people of integrity? Their minds and their lives have not been changed by the power of the Son of God because they have not learned from Him. Put off that old man. Put on the new. That old man will never stand. That old man is not a person of integrity. Christ holds out His hands to us. He knocks at the door. He says, come unto me. I'll give you rest. Learn of me. Be like Him. Tonight, if there's one here who's ready to put off that old man, have him crucified and buried in the watery grave of baptism, no better time than right now to make that commitment to be a person like Jesus Christ, a person of integrity. Let the beauty of Jesus truly be seen in each of us. It must be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Make that commitment while we stand and while we sing. With